Good evening. Thank you very much for the opportunity to preach. I thank God for that opportunity to preach. And we're going to talk this evening about redeeming the time. And it tells us that see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Do you redeem the time? Do you redeem the time? Gary will tell you, Wayne will tell you, anybody that preaches will tell you, you're always looking for illustrations. Always looking for illustrations in your sermons. And I kept looking for an illustration about the fast passage of time in our lives. Because we don't realize how fast time goes. We just wake up and we wonder, where in the world did it go? And I finally found one, and I'd like to share it with you tonight. It best illustrates the quick passage of time in our lives. It says, "Now I was a play horse you pulled with a string on wheels where my legs should be, and he was the boy that pulled the toy around the treehouse tree. Well, it was late one spring I was tied by my string on a field of the make-believe farm when around the house the boy and the bear came marching arm in arm. 'This is Biff,' said the boy to me. 'He's the friendly purple bear.' And Biff stooped down and stroked my mane with a paw of purple hair. 'Biff has come to live and laugh and pretend with me and you, and he can do anything that a boy and a toy believe purple bears can do.' And taking the cue, Biff bowed at the waist and leaped and clicked his heels, then down to the ground in three somersaults that ended in four cartwheels. He whirled and twirled and stood on his head. The boy giggled and slapped his side, and I laughed so hard that wooden tears rolled out of my painted eyes. For we were bound by the code of the musketeers. Such golden hours were shared by the freckle-faced boy and the wooden horse toy and Biff the purple bear. But as time went on, the boy grew taller and his voice took a strange new ring. And his visits were few to the treehouse tree and never to the long rope swing. Biff the purple bear grew sad as he climbed down the treehouse tree. He shook his head. 'I'm afraid,' he said, 'he's forgotten you and me. It seems, old wooden friend of mine, we've outlasted his boyhood years.' And then he turned and was gone across the lawn in a trail of purple tears." Now, I've been put to pasture in the old treehouse, but at times I've seen from afar a strange tall boy that mows the lawn and tinkers about an old car. And just the other day, I looked out of the house and down the sidewalk without air came a new little boy with a wooden horse toy followed by a purple bear." Have you really thought about the swift passage of time in your life? Have you ever sat down and considered how quickly it's going, how swift it is? You know, the Word of God addresses that. When we look at the swiftness of our life and how it's so fast that time moves on. In fact, I was telling my wife the other day, I said, I find it hard to believe I'm almost 70 years old. I remember when she and I were married 44 years ago. I remember everything that happened on that day. I remember what she wore. That was yesterday. No, it wasn't either. The Bible tells us about this. It says in 1 Chronicles 29 and 15, "We are strangers before thee and sojourners as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding." It also tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, "All men are like grass. Their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall away, but the word of the Lord stands forever." It tells us that we are just a vapor. We are a vapor. James 4 and 14 says, "You don't know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You are even a mist that appears for a little time, and then you vanish away." Now, you've not been to my house. Most of you hadn't. Some of you have. I haven't been to yours, but I can probably guarantee you that if I go to your house, I'm going to find picture albums. And I look through those picture albums at my house, And especially, we have a wall in the hall that's all of these pictures. Now, I look at that wall, and I see a guy that don't have gray hair anymore. He doesn't have any gray hair. And he's got a lot more than he has today. And I look at this beautiful young lady who's still beautiful to me. And I look at these children, and I'm thinking, my kids were never that small. There's no way. They were never that small. And yet, I say, well, who are these people? Can I recognize? And I asked my granddaughter the other day. I said, you know who this is? It was her mother. And she said, huh? No, don't have a clue. Time passes very, very quickly. How could that be me? That woman, she is not my wife. But just yesterday, my oldest son, he's now 43 years old. But I will tell you, it was just yesterday when he was born and his hand fit in my hand. And that was just yesterday. How quickly time goes on. You know, many songs have been written about time. It keeps slipping, slipping, slipping into the future, and it does. Or it also tells us in some songs that time keeps flowing like a river on and on and on. And it does, and you can't stop it. It is there. It is there. And so when we talk about redeeming the time, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever considered your life in numbers? And let me just tell you what I'm talking about here. You know, we only honestly think about time when we have to. Birthdays, keep appointments, seems we're always overwhelmed by a lack of time. But now here's what, on average, they will tell you. For instance, the average person living 70 years, you're going to spend 6 months of your life in the bathtub. You're going to spend 6 years eating. You're going to spend 13 years in front of screens. It's probably more than that now, to be honest with you. I would challenge you to figure out how much of your time is spent in front of a screen. We're looking at screens tonight. 33 years you're going to spend sleeping. And the average person spends 6 months of their life sitting at red lights. Now, you just think about those things. Think about that. We're always overwhelmed by a lack of time. I just don't have the time. I don't have enough time. Guess what? You have all the time there is. You have 168 hours. You don't have 1 second more. You don't have 1 second less. 168 hours. And so when we talk about your life in numbers, when we talk about redeeming the time that we have and how blessed we've been from God, you want to know how much time you've actually been given thus far in your life and just exactly how overwhelmingly generous and merciful God has been to you? Well, look at the numbers you never think about. Let me give you some examples. When you were 15 years old, there may be some 15-year-olds here tonight. When you were 15 years old, though, you had lived 5,475 days on God's earth. God had given you 5,475 sunrises and 5,475 sunsets. Considering that you ate three times a day in those 15 years, many of us eat more than that, God fed you 16,425 times in your short life. So we move on. We go to 40 years, and at 40 years old, well, you've lived 14,600 days or 350,400 hours, and God fed you 43,800 times. See, all of this time that keeps moving on, it has this cumulative effect. I look at myself. I'm 68 years old. That means when I hit my 68th birthday, which, by the way, was 6 months ago, at that day, I had been on this earth for 24,820 days, or more precisely, 595,680 hours. And will you get the picture? Redeeming the time is a commandment, isn't it? It is. It says you need to redeem the time because the days are evil. And so the question of the night is, what have you and I been doing with our 168 hours in service to God? What does it say in Hebrews 10 and 25? It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so then let's look at it this way. We talk about redeeming the time. Provided you went to Bible class on Sunday morning and Wednesday evening and to worship service Sunday morning and Sunday evening, that's 4 hours. So it's four of the 168 hours. that God has requested you to spend to learn of Him, to hear messages from His Word, to sing praises to Him, to remember His Son's death, to pray. That's 4 hours God has requested for us to learn of Him. And now we get 168 hours, and that 4 hours basically amounts to 2% of the time. And some people can't get here at all. Really, gives you 168 hours, and we give Him 2% of the time. Have you redeemed that time? He expects you to redeem that time. And in fact, you look in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And here it is. This is your reasonable service. He said, this is reasonable for you to do. I expect you to do this. Don't be conformed to the world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we see here that in redeeming the time God gives us, God says that's your reasonable service, not hard. But let me tell you what really happens. What really happens is we do indeed redeem our time. We do. But most of the time, Satan, the Bible calls him your adversary, your enemy, he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is absolutely delighted to fill your time schedule just as full as you can get it. Now, you can go to your house tonight, maybe look in your purse, look in your billfold, look on your tablet, look wherever it is, and you look at the schedule that you've got to keep. I can tell you right now, this week, I have something going on every night of the week. Every night. Now, yes, I'm going to some church services. But here's the bottom line. Most of the time, we're not doing that. What happens is Satan fills our schedule completely up, as full as we can get it. And guess what? We're busy under Satan's yoke. That's where we're at. And he does that. He is delighted to fill your schedule just as full as you can get it and keep you busy. And then time just slips away. It slips away because I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do that. Oh, and I got to do this over here too. And guess what? Here's what happens to God. God gets the leftovers. Isn't that what he does? Use yourself for an example. How many times do you pray a day? You pray when you get up. You pray when you eat. Pray when you go to bed. Is that it? I've had some people say, you know, I just want to read the Bible every day. I want to study my Bible every day. And I got so much stuff to do. And by the time I get home and I eat and I'm tired and I sit in the chair and I just get so tired, man, it's just all I can do to get through one chapter and do that without going to sleep. And so what happens is God gets the leftovers. That's not redeeming the time. I believe that this is one of the most insidious and sneaky devices that Satan uses in his battle to gain an advantage against the Christian in his or her everyday life. And we're not ignorant of it. 2 Corinthians 2 and 11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. His devices. He takes an advantage. We're not ignorant. When we let him fill our schedule and put things we should be doing aside to serve ourselves day after day, month after month, year after year, and time keeps on moving us closer to eternity, and we're so busy, we don't redeem the time, and we get farther away from God. Now, I'm going to give you a scripture. I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 is that famous judgment scene. And I want to tell you that I believe with all of my heart, the people who are condemned here are condemned because they didn't redeem the time that God gave them while they were on the earth. Begin with verse number 41. Matthew 25, 41. So Jesus says also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I was an hungered and you gave me no meat. Thirsty, you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, well, Lord, when did we see thee a hungered or thirst, or stranger, naked, or sick in prison, did not minister to thee? Then shall he answer them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now, let me ask you a question. Is he not saying, when you were on this earth, when you were on the earth in your lifetime, you had all the opportunity to do these things? I gave you the time to do all these things. You didn't do them. He don't say nothing about baptism there. We know baptism is essential. But what did he tell these people specifically? He said, you're not redeeming the time. You didn't redeem the time. So therefore, you lose your soul. You know what it's all about, brothers and sisters? It's all about redeeming time and God's service. For love and good works, we are created to good works. My wife has been diagnosed with cancer, and there is a lady at the church in Cabot who came up to us and said, every Monday night from now on, until you tell me no, I'm providing supper for you and your wife. And she said, that's what I do. That's how I redeem my time. And I told her, I said, this will never be forgotten. You don't understand how much of a burden something like that takes off of you. She said, this is what I do. And she doesn't just do it for us. She does it for other people. That's what she does. Some people send cards. Some people send texts of encouragement. Some people go and visit the sick. Some people, in fact, even have communication with people that are in prison. What are we doing with our time? When's the last time someone was hungry and you fed them? Or they were thirsty and you gave them a drink? How about thirsty souls? They're everywhere. Talks about a stranger and you took them in, clothed them, sick, in prison. The bottom line is, you didn't redeem the time I gave you. Remember what our scripture said began? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. So you see, God's paying attention here. And what does it say here? Then he will answer them saying, assuredly, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you didn't do it to me either. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, the righteous into life eternal. And so what happens to us is every day, I am convinced that every person in here that's of mid-adult age and up, you have opportunities every day. You have opportunities to redeem the time for good, for Jesus Christ, for God, to find something good, to redeem the time, to help other people, and to do it. But we don't do that. When I was 18 years old, 17 and 18, I took journalism 3 hours a day, my junior and senior year in high school. And my teacher was a gentleman by the name of Fred Grimm. Fred was a great guy. He was just a great guy, but he's an older gentleman, almost like my grandpa. And he loved me. He loved me. And when I graduated and went to the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, I kind of lost track with him. And one Saturday, I was at home from school and I was out trimming hedges. And one of my buddies came by from school and he said, have you seen Mr. Graham lately? I said, no, why would I go see Mr. Graham? He said, he's really sick. And he said, I went to see him. And the first thing he said is, have you seen David? Eddie said, no, I hadn't seen David. He said, well, would you go by and see David and tell David I'd like to see him, please. I just want to see him. So Eddie gives me that message and I'm thinking, okay, let's see here. This is Saturday. I got a date tonight, going to football game. I got this to do tomorrow. And so I'll go see him on Monday. Monday, I'll go see him. What happened to him? He died. And for all of those years since that time, could I have changed anything with him? No. Did I do what he requested me to do? No, I didn't. Why? Because I was selfish. I want to do what I want to do. I'll get to you later. How many times has that happened to us? Can you say, I shunned an opportunity that happened by my way? I thought I was too busy to fool with it that day, and now that opportunity lies buried in the ground, lost without a single hope of being heaven bound. What will I say in judgment when Jesus looks at me and asks me why I didn't take that opportunity? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And by the way, we need to put an extreme urgency on redeeming the time that we have because it's running out. Ecclesiastes 9, 11, 12. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived here, he said something that is compelling. You see, I don't know how I'm going to die. I don't. But I do know the circumstances, if you will. And he tells me in the scripture, he says, I've seen something else under the sun. Race is not to the swift, the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise or wealth to the brilliant or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come, as fish are caught in a cruel net or birds are taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. I don't know how or when I'm going to die, but I know it's going to be one of two things. It's either going to be time or it's going to be chance. By time, my grandmother was 99 years old. She couldn't hear. She couldn't see. Her body just wore out because of time. Chance means I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time. Solomon says it's time or chance happens to everybody. And so we need to pay attention to things that the Word of God tells us. I want you to go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6 says, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom, are you listening, toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1 says, we must pay the more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. But that's what happens to us. We don't redeem the time that we have because we're so full of the schedules that we keep, that we think are very, very important, when in effect, the majority of stuff is probably not very important. Not versus the people that we could effectively help in different and various ways by doing what the Lord tells us. And so we go back to James chapter 4 and verse number 14. It says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and it then vanishes away. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 3, it says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. There are three people in the Bible that remind me of so many people today. One of them is a fellow by the name of Felix. And Felix is listening to the Apostle Paul explain to him the Word of God and judgment and things that are going to happen. And Felix is thinking about this. And it tells us in Acts 24 and 25, as he, Felix, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, he trembled. And he answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You know anybody like that? It makes them nervous. I've even told people, I've said, listen, knowing the things you know about the Word of God and what this is really all about on this life, knowing the things that you know and you continue to live in sin, if I were in your position, I'd be afraid to go to bed at night. I would. Felix trembled. You know why? He knew he hadn't redeemed the time. He knew he hadn't. You know anybody like that? Here's another one, really very, very close, in Acts 26, the next chapter. So Paul goes from Felix to King Agrippa. He goes to Agrippa and he tells him all the things about Jesus Christ and what's expected of him. This is the king. And he says, do you believe? I know you believe. Paul tells the king that. And what did the king tell him? He said, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Almost. Let me ask y'all a question. You know any almost Christians? I know a bunch of them. Almost. They almost got there. But there was something or somebody or something that prohibited them from obeying the truth. And therefore, they didn't. They didn't redeem the time. The king said, you almost persuaded me. You did. So I know people that are that way, the almost Christian. And then we go to Luke chapter 12, and I want you to begin with me in verse number 16. The Bible calls this guy the rich fool, the rich fool. I know many people that are like this, and I want you to notice how many times he refers to himself in this short passage here. It's going to be 13 times he refers to himself. So it's all about him and all about what he wants to do and how he's going to redeem the time for himself with nothing for God. Jesus speaking here in verse 16 of Luke 12, he spake a parable unto them saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself saying, listen to the personal pronouns, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You know anybody like that? That's how they redeem the time. It's all about me. Me, 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 me. They don't even consider God. They don't consider anyone else. It's just me and what I want to do. What did God say in verse 20? He said, you are a fool. This night, today, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. And so these three remind me of a lot of people I know. They don't redeem the time. Felix, King Agrippa, rich fool. It's all about them. One of them trembled when it was pointed out. One of them said, you almost convinced me to be a Christian. And one of them, it's just, he didn't care about God. It was all about him. God said, you're a fool. Tonight your soul's required. Tonight your soul is required. There are many people just like these three we've mentioned. They only redeem time for themselves. They listen to Satan. They fill their time, their schedule so full for themselves that God and his wishes and his commandments are choked completely to death. We go now to Hebrews chapter 10 as we conclude. Hebrews 10, 23. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. And you go on down in verse 31 says, you know what? It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And if you're not prepared, if you don't redeem the time while you're here, time is passing away. We need to redeem the time because the days are truthfully evil. Don't know who wrote it, but it's really good. Certainly gives us time to think about redeeming our time. Have you ever stopped to wonder what this life is all about? Why you're here and where you're going when your lease on time runs out? Maybe you've been far too busy trying hard to reach your goal. But would you let me ask you kindly, have you thought about your soul? You may reach the highest portals and your dreams may all come true. Wealth and fame may be your portion and success may shine on you. All your friends may sing your praises, not a care on you may roll. But what about the great tomorrow? Have you thought about your soul? You've never thought it over. Spend a little time today because there's nothing more important that will ever come your way than the joy of sins forgiven and to know you've been made whole in the name of Christ the Savior. Have you thought about your soul? Jesus thinks about it every day. It's the most valuable possession you own. We're even told, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What can you do? This is what you can do. God loved you so much, He gave His Son to die for you. He gave us a plan of salvation here in His Word. He says, hear the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10 and 17. Believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He said, unless you believe I'm He, you will perish. Repent of your sins. Repentance means I'm sorry and I'm not going there again. Confess with the mouth that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible says every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Be raised to walk in newness of life. And the Lord who promised us eternal life says, if you stay true, if you stay true till the end, I will give you a crown of life. He's also made the opportunity for those who are Christians who have had problems that have taken them away from the Lord. He says, you need to repent of your sins. Come back to me. And we'll pray with you and pray for you. And that's refreshing. To start all over again is refreshing. To know that the Lord loves you that much. He wants no one to be lost. But if you are, I can only tell you that it's probably your own fault. We pray if you're subject to God's great invitation, you'll come while we stand and while we sing.